our God is the true God of thunder, and why would we wander away from the only God who can save? Our God is unstoppable. Our God is majestic. Our God is all-powerful. Our God is omniscient. Our God is omnipotent. He is holy and awesome. Why would we wander away from the only one who can truly save? The one so soon that's going to return riding on the clouds and gather all those who are his to point up and say, that's my Savior.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. Wherever you are today, we are thankful you're here, and we're thankful you're listening, and you are hearing truths directly from God's Word. Today's message is so applicable in that respect because it is a call from the Lord to His people to return to Him. If that's a refresher, if that's a call you need today, I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and join us in the middle of today's message from the life of Samuel called We Must Return.
What are the false gods and false idols? For some of you, you don't need to look any further. You have your answer. You cannot love God and love the world. You can't serve sexual sin and genuinely pursue the Lord. How about another category in scripture, which is so, so clear, where Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, listen, you cannot serve both God and money. He says you will either love the one or hate the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and you will despise the other. You cannot serve, his words, you cannot serve both God and money. It's interesting too, in the book of Revelation, the two sins that are describing the Babylonic system of thought and pursuit that is going to describe the destruction of all those people in the end of time for all of eternity, the two sins that are mentioned over and over again, sexual immorality, luxurious living. Those are the two sins that summarize the entire problem with the philosophy of our world and what we lust after so much. Sexual sin and luxurious living. Again, hear it again. Maybe for you right now in our world, so again pervasive, you love money to the point you don't love the Lord. You're trying to do both. Jesus says you can't do it. And today, right now, you don't need to hear another word. The Holy Spirit's been so clear. That's your issue. He's like, child, we've been talking about this for a while. If you truly want to love me with all your heart, if you truly want to return, you have to throw some idols in the trash. You gotta stop rationalizing, making excuses, and pretending that money is your ultimate God and somehow I'm gonna be down here on second, third, 10th level somewhere and that's gonna be okay. Child, that has to end today. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Now the thing becomes, what are we gonna do about it? See, this is where repentance gets real. This is where returning is not just, I'm looking at the idols, I hate the sin, and I trash, I stand there, I gotta do so, I gotta turn now to the things of the Lord. And this is setting up perfectly the second part of what true repentance is. Samuel says, direct your heart. Direct your heart. Look at right in the text. He says, direct your heart to the Lord. Again, look up here for a second, okay? Identify my sin. I hate the idols that are ruining my affection for Jesus Christ. I throw them in the garbage. Praise the Lord. That's a massive step. I trash them. I get rid of them. I hate them, but I don't stand there and just stare at the garbage. I don't stare at the garbage. Repentance, returning is, I trash them. Now I return. I trash the idols, but now I turn and direct my affections and direct my love and direct the pursuit of my life now to the Lord. That's returning. That's repentance. Trash and then turn. Return to the God of glory, the God of power and the God of hope and the God of love. Direct your heart. I want you to take a heart inventory right now. Where is your heart being directed today? Take a heart inventory the last couple of days, weeks, months, maybe the last couple of years. Where is your heart being directed? The easiest way to answer that question, how do you spend your time? How do you spend your thoughts? How do you spend God's money? It's his money, not yours. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your thoughts? How do you spend God's money in your life? That will tell you where your heart's being directed. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Where's your heart being directed? It's another question, super important. Who is your heart being directed to? Who? Is there an individual? Is there a person that has more of your heart than the Lord? Because that person then has also become an idol and a false god. And that needs to change. For some of us, it's painfully clear right now. Things like social media need to be discarded. They just need to be trashed. It's got way too much of our hearts. And now we must turn from that trash. It's almost always that way. Turn from that trash and now direct it to the Lord. For some of us, we have to trash secular songs. It's amazing how influential these things are and how much they steal the heart. The songs you sing is the theology you ultimately believe. You gotta trash secular songs. You gotta direct your heart now to songs of worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some of us, there's a specific relationship that needs to end. And you've been trying to rationalize this relationship and make excuses for it, but what you and I and the Lord knows perfectly well is that this relationship or relationships are not bringing you any closer to the Lord. They have proved to be a distance in sin. They have wrecked your affection. They're taking away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And a specific relationship, if it's doing that, it is not healthy for you. It's not good for you. It is forsaking that and directing your heart now to relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and people who love him also. For some young people here today, there might be some kind of like 16-year-old boyfriend that has got your heart way more than Jesus has ever had it. That will not end well. The wisdom of the Lord shows us this and gives us the courage to do something about it as we repent of sin and return to the things of the Lord, to the person of the Lord in relationship with him. See what Samuel's doing right now? He's like, hey, people, priority, look up here, priority leads to our pursuit, then leads to our passion. See, we prioritize that which we love. Whatever we love, we prioritize. Priority leads to our pursuit, which leads to our passion. Samuel's like, you guys serious about this? You're gonna return to the Lord with all your heart? You gotta trash the idols. You gotta direct your heart. And thirdly, he says this, you gotta serve him only. Right out of the text, serve him only. Remember this, church, so important. God is not one compartment out of many. So often we treat him like that, don't we? The Lord requires our exclusive devotion, exclusive. Number one commandment in all of life, in all the history of the world, love the Lord your God with half your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I mean, it's very, very clear. You know what the Philistines tried to do here? They got the ark and they tried to mix the Lord God Almighty with all their false gods. They tried to put God as one among many. Absolute disaster. Many, many people died. The Israelites also tried to do that throughout their history. The Israelites, so tempted by flesh and sin and idolatry, they kept trying to minimize God as one God among many. Even right here, Samuel's saying, put away your foreign gods, people. What are you doing? Only serve the Lord. How many times do you need to be told, people of Israel? It's not gonna work. It doesn't work. See, true repentance is not divided. True repentance returns to serve the Lord only. Loved ones, God does not want leftovers. And so often, that's what the Lord gets. See, it's important for us. We talk about repentance in this way. Repentance is the bedrock of Christianity. Not only at salvation. Salvation, absolutely. If you're gonna be saved in Jesus Christ, repent from sin, turn with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must do that to genuinely be saved. But repentance doesn't stop there. Repentance continues on. See, all of us wander. All of us are prone to leave. All of us are tempted to start disbelieving the power of repentance in our lives. Look at what Oswald Chambers says about this. He says this in this great quote. He says, "The foundation of Christianity is repentance. Strictly speaking, a person cannot repent when he chooses. Repentance is a gift of God." And I love this here. The old Puritans used to pray for the gift of tears. That makes so much sense to me. From the moment this church began, in some form or another, we've been praying for the gift of tears, what only the Holy Spirit can produce. The gift of tears and godly sorrow, the gift of tears and Holy Spirit given repentance, the gift of tears of brokenness, the gift of tears and surrender, the gift of tears of unadulterated worship to Jesus Christ. You know, that's why we have Kleenex and right in front of you in every row. You realize that, one of the things that grieved me the most with the COVID season, we had to take the Kleenex out. The Kleenex is back, praise the Lord, okay? And the reason we're so excited about that is not to cover your sniffles when it comes to having some kind of little cold. Those things are there because over the course of the history of our church, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has moved person after person after person after persons in the hundreds and thousands to encounter him in his presence, to be broken in sin and to be seeking the Lord Jesus Christ what only he can give. And the only right emotion when those things happen and you encounter a holy God and recognize your sin is to be overwhelmed at the presence and the glory and the reality of his majesty and how small and finite we are. Someone pass me a Kleenex. That's why they're there. And I pray we never, ever stop having to use them and use them and use them, that God is working among us and drawing people to himself. Please, God, we pray for the gift of holy tears. We pray you must do it. We don't want to manipulate anyone. We want you to move in such a way that we are brought to the place that nowhere else in this world can even come close to let us see a vision of you and a reality of ourselves, that we're overcome by the very presence of the Lord in repentance. We're praying this Thursday at our prayer meeting too. Praying for the gift of tears. May it never stop. Notice this, he says, "If you ever cease to understand the value of repentance, you allow yourself to remain in sin." See, that's such an important word for so many of us right now. When's the last time we truly repented? If we ever allow ourselves to fail to understand the value of repentance or stop doing that, we remain in sin. Examine yourselves to see if you have forgotten how to be truly repentant. Examine yourselves. Examine myself today. Have I forgotten the value of what it means to be truly repentant? So Lord, search our hearts. Holy Spirit, search our hearts. I think of just the wonderful testimonies of baptism in that video today. I think even the sins that were mentioned, this is where I was in life. This is who I was. This is what I was struggling with. This is the things that were causing misery and all those things. Maybe God has already cultivated hearts even here right now. God, search our hearts for the pride that kills. Search our heart for the control that we want over you. Search our hearts for the stubbornness and the rampant selfishness. Search our hearts for the laziness. God, we're so lazy and apathetic and complacent. Search our heart, Lord, to repent of our excuses and again, our self-obsession. Search our heart for the greed that we have that is manifest in so many different ways, for the bitterness, the unforgiveness that we have. God, search our hearts for the lust of the flesh and the lust of the world and the lust of the pride of possessions. God, search our hearts to see that we are church consumers. We're not worshipers of God. Search our hearts, Lord, to help us understand we haven't loved you with our whole heart. We haven't loved our neighbor as ourselves. Search our hearts, God, to see that we need mercy, that we are sinners and we desire so much and need the grace of God to come upon us. Lord, search our hearts to lead us in true repentance. Messages like this are so rare in the church today. I read a quote even just this morning. John Piper said that more preachers are trying to make people laugh than they are calling them to repent. So wrong. Like, the number one pathway to returning is repentance. The church hardly talks about it anymore. We want to return, we must repent. Secondly, if we're going to return, it will be with fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Look at verse 6. "So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there," look at this, loved ones, "we have sinned against the Lord." Finally, finally, that's one of the turning points. Notice, it's no longer the Philistines, blame them. The sexual revolution around us, blame that. The politics of our day, blame them. The people at my workplace, blame them. It's not that. Now, all of a sudden, repentance isn't like it's your fault. Repentance is like, I'm the problem. We have sinned, oh God. There's a turning point for the church. We have sinned. That's a very powerful sign that God is genuinely working his people. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Verse 7. When the Philistines heard the people of Israel gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. Here comes the enemy again. When the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people, verse 8, and the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a nursing lamb, offered it, burnt offering, and Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel. Look at this. And the Lord answered him. So one of the great blessings of increased opposition in our day, of increased trial and increased darkness, one of the great blessings when those things come upon God's people is that they finally start to pray. Over the course of history, that's always been true. The more the burden is felt, the more the people finally understand we can't do this. We must pray to the God who can. Let me ask you, do you feel the increasing burden of our day? Do you feel the increasing lostness and darkness as you travel around, drive around, talk, and wherever you are? I think you do. Just this week, man, I felt like Paul in Athens and my spirit provoked at the idols all over the place. My spirit is grieved and sad. I'm sad. I feel sorrow, the lostness, the blindness, the hopelessness, grieved at that. Feeling the increased burden and darkness of our day. But what is the answer then? What is the answer? The answer is not anger. The answer is repentance and the answer is prayer. The answer is to wholeheartedly seek the only one who can change. The answer is the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's so interesting to me that just I look around. There are no other options I'm finding other than the Lord through repentance to him and prayer to him and to cry out, God, we have sinned. We have sinned. And this is why repentance and prayer among the church are so often the instigators of revival. I just want to take a couple of moments. I want you to hear a true account of the Hebrides revival that began in 1949. In 1949, two old women named Peggy and Christine Smith. Listen to this. One of them was 84 years of age. The other was 82. That's awesome. They were greatly burdened because of the state of the body of Christ in their community. The church in their little island of Hebrides was in need of an awakening. These women took it upon themselves to pray until revival comes. They spent hours in prayer, sometimes praying from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in their little cottage. As the intercession intensified, some ministers joined the sisters for prayer every Tuesday and Friday. They began to pray the promise of God in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, for I will pour upon him, that is, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. See, I'm so encouraged. In my readings today, literally one of my chapters, Isaiah 44, and I saw this verse and it stuck out to me. It was highlighted in my Bible and here it is again today. I'm just so blessed by that. May the Lord continue to do his awesome work. During one of their prayer sessions, God showed Peggy and Christine that a Scottish preacher called Duncan Campbell was to visit them, that he would be used to bring about revival. After a series of events, Duncan arrived for a two-week visit. This visit lasted about 2 years. In Duncan's first meeting, nothing major happened, but one of the deacons encouraged him, "Don't be discouraged, it is coming. I already hear the rumbling of heaven's chariot wheels. We will have another night of prayer and we will see what God is going to do." About 30 persons gathered at a cottage that night to pray. About 3 o'clock in the morning, God swept in. and about a dozen were laid prostrate upon the floor. As they left the cottage that morning, they found men and women seeking God. No one think to sleep. Three men were found lying by the roadside in conviction, crying for God to have mercy upon them. The whole island was shaken. The next night, buses came from the four corners of the island, crowding the church. Seven men were being driven to the meeting in a butcher's truck when suddenly the Spirit of God fell upon them in great conviction, and all were converted before they even reached the church. As Duncan preached, a wave of conviction swept over the congregation. Cries were heard all over the place. The meeting closed when people began to move out. As the last person was about to leave, a young man began to pray. He prayed for 3/4 hour. As he prayed, people kept gathering until there were twice as many outside. When the young man stopped praying, an elder read from Psalm chapter 132. As the people sang an old hymn, they streamed back into the church, and the meeting lasted until 4 a.m. Hardened sinners were saved. Just as the meeting was closing, someone hurried up to the preacher, very excited. "Come with me. There's a crowd of people outside the police station. They are weeping in an awful distress. We don't know what's wrong with them. They are calling for someone to come and pray with them." Describing the scenes outside the police station, a minister declared, "I saw a sight I never thought was possible. Something I shall never forget. Until the starlit sky, men and women were kneeling everywhere by the roadside, outside the cottages, even behind the peat stacks, crying for God to have mercy upon them." Revival had come. God came down and shook the little island of Hebrides. I watched testimonies of people who saw the literal Shekinah of God descending and resting on houses, even as dishes clattered under the weight of the glory. Some claim they saw a ship, but there was no sea, and they saw where they saw the ship. It was indeed heaven on earth. The revival lasted 2 years. It was said that over 90% of the island was saved. That's only 70 years ago. That's not Acts 1 and 2. That happened there too. That's only 70 years ago. This is the only hope for our nation. And this is the only hope for our province. And this is the only hope for our community. And the only hope for, again, the church, to continue to be the church and the light and the witness for the glory of God. It's going to require men and women and children to have a burden for prayer as much as we've ever had by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the leaders of this church cannot do it alone. We cannot do it alone. It's us together, believing that God wants to do something like this. It is so encouraging, isn't it? It builds your faith again to remind yourselves of why we're actually here and the things that God can do and the faith he wants to instill in us. But the pathway to return to God, it has to include fervent prayer. This Thursday, 7 p.m., we're praying through these themes. Please, God, fill your church. Please, God, allow the people to make you the priority. Allow the people to run out of excuses, God, please. Allow the people to come with faith and to believe, Lord, as we pray. And I love the example here. These women, they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. It wasn't answered right away. They prayed and prayed, God, give us the faith and perseverance. For such zeal for you. Maybe, Lord, it's appropriate right now. We repent of our prayerlessness. We repent of our laziness. We repent of our divided hearts. We repent of our excuses. God, grant us a burden for prayer. The pathway to returning is through prayer. And then lastly, this returning means we come with great faith. Briefly, quickly, powerfully. Look at verse 10. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. Look at this. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound. Amen, church. Amen. That is so awesome. The Lord thundered with a mighty sound against the Philistines that day and threw them into confusion. They were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out and routed them. Verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. Why? For that means, he said, till now the Lord has helped us. And the Philistines, they were subdued, routed, and defeated. Loved ones, let me ask you this, right? Why would we wander away from the God of thunder? And by the way, This is not Thor Marvel, man, all right? All right? That is fiction. Our God is the true God of thunder. And why would we wander away from the only God who can save? Our God is unstoppable. Our God is majestic. Our God is all powerful. Our God is omniscient. Our God is omnipotent. He is holy and awesome. Why would we wander away from the only one who can truly save? The one so soon that's going to return riding on the clouds and gather all those who are his to point up and say, that's my Savior. Why would we wander away from him? So Samuel says this, and the Lord thunders. And then he says, he gets a stone and calls it Ebenezer. Here I raise my Ebenezer. It literally means thus far the Lord has helped us. So I made a stone this week. Thus far the Lord has helped us. Oh, you know what? In fact, it's here right now. This is good, man. Hey, isn't it so true? Like, I remember if you've known what Ebenezer has meant until this day, right here in our text, you sang it maybe many times in a hymn, Come Thou Fount. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. So true, hasn't it? He's faithful. Life's not easy. God is faithful. Life comes with pain. He is faithful. Trials are guaranteed. He is faithful. Here I raise my Ebenezer. The Lord has been helpful. The Lord has helped us thus far. And with great faith, we return to him because he's the only one who can. I encourage you, man, this is going on my desk. I encourage you. Maybe you do the same and you remind yourself every day of the reality. The Lord has helped us thus far and he is perfectly faithful. He will continue to the end. Samuel stands before the people. Listen, if you're gonna return, you gotta repent, you gotta pray, and you gotta have faith. And the Lord comes through every single time. His way, his time, his methods. God, call your people to return. Father, I just pray so much right now that you are doing that. I pray you are moving, Lord, with intimacy and power and conviction and glory. Oh, loved ones, what is the idol that is in your way to a vibrant relationship with the Lord? What is diffusing your heart of love? What has been distracting you away from devotion? Will you not return? Do you sense that the Lord himself right now looks at you? I don't want you to think about anyone else right now. I just want you to concentrate. The Lord looks at you. He speaks to you. He pursues you. He loves you. He is jealous for your love. You, right where you are right now, you. He woos you. He welcomes you. He invites you. He longs for you. And he's brought this message and this service today to get you. Won't you return? Won't we repent? Won't we pray this week? Won't we ask the Lord to renew and to revive? Yes, Lord, I pray for the gift of tears. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to do what only you can. In Jesus' name.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna be